Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Top 5, the Patreon-only podcast, where I, Josh Earle, sit down with a good buddy and we discuss the top 5 of a topic of our choice. And today, it's my good friend, it's Tom Ballard, everyone. Yay!
Buddies! Buddies together. Hello.
Hey,
hello,
buddy. Joshy. How are you?
Hey, Jill. I'm fine. You know.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good. How is anyone at the moment? Are we all fine? We're fine.
Have you got COVID or have you had COVID? Because I know
no,
you
haven't.
I've
not had COVID.
Neither have I.
Not as yet.
No? We're one of the few. Yeah. And I'm taking my kids to swimming lessons every day this week. And I'm not, surely I'm getting it there.
Yeah.
Surely in a public pool is where I am going to die of COVID.
If not COVID, some other horrific disease, surely.
Yeah. Now, what we're doing today. Now, we're doing a suggestion from a listener of the podcast. Now, last year I did Best Songs from When We Were 18 with Justin Hamilton. This listener said, hey, do it when you're 21, because when you're 18 was 1999, and that year was a shit year for music. And I agree. It was one of the worst years for music. One of the best years for films.
Okay, yes. But what was your number one?
From 99, probably. I can't even remember. I'll have to go back and look. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But
is that fucking Pretty Fly for a White Guy in the Hottest 100 and shit like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was the year that new metal broke. It was a big year for... It was the end of kind of the everyone trying to sound like Eddie Vedder.
Okay.
The start of the angry white, you know, Woodstock 99. That
yes.
That's like all the all your
right.
Limp Bizkit and Korn. Yes, and all
Limp Bizkit
kind of
Nookie came in at number 8 in the Hottest 100.
Yeah.
Number 1 was These Days by Powderfinger, so you know how you feel about that. But I can see how there could be some issues here, yes.
Did Ben Lee get number 2? Did Ben Lee get Cigarettes Will Kill You at number 2?
No, Killing Heidi and Where?
Oh,
number 2.
Tenants, my good
you
friend
Ella. You're good, mate. Always number 2. oh, you got some great tunes here. Yeah, oh, Korn, Freak on a Leash, and Falling Away from Me is 16 and 17. Yeah, brutal.
So that's me. So you were when you were 21, what year was it?
It was 2010, the year of our Lord.
Yes.
And this will come through in my list, but that was the year that I began hosting the breakfast show on Triple J.
Excellent.
So it is a very formative year, and in terms of music, yeah, this going through and thinking about these songs was very, very moving and emotional and nostalgic, because music was such a... I was passionate about music before I started working at Triple J, but getting that job and sort of jumping in the deep end was like, fuck, I need to know a lot of stuff, and I'm going to be talking to some of these people, and I should actually maybe get a bit of an idea of what's going on. So yes, Triple J will loom large.
Had you been living in Sydney before that, or did you move up to Sydney for the gig?
I had moved to Sydney, for this gig. I was still dating Joshua Thomas. Yes. We'd been going out for a while. He'd come out, and then we were moving cities, and we were going to try long distance, but it's going to be fine because we'll be in love forever because we were true love. And
can I just
distance.
Say to the listeners, 21 is the best time to do long distance relationships. I reckon just the best. It always works out. You're always going to be together forever.
Particularly if you're dating a gay man who's just come out and is quite famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when it's all going to work out very, very well. So that's the world. I'm living in a very expensive but quite shitty apartment on William Street in the middle of Darlinghurst, waking up at 4 a.m., walking to work at 5 a.m., walking past a range of transgender Asian sex workers on the street who almost every morning seem to forget that I'm not interested in their services, but they do ask every single day. And I'm getting into radio and with Alex Dyson trying to figure out what the fuck our breakfast radio show is, and being quite bad at it and being very tired all the time.
Because you guys replaced Robbie Marican Lindsay, is that right? The doctor?
That's correct. Yeah. Yes.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Just trying to. So it was. They would have had all the bring back Will and Adam.
Oh, yes. No, immediately it was... Well, no, you had Jay and the Doctor years in between there and stuff. Yeah, so you still got the hangover Lindsay. So he'd been there for quite a while. But yes, certainly, you know, for at least 6 to 8 months, you have... who are these cunts? Yeah. So these little fuckheads.
Because I have a very different... I was 21. I was living in Launceston. Mm-hmm. I was halfway through a teaching degree that I knew I did not want to teach.
Oof, yep.
Around after 21, had a really bad experience at a school I was working at. I won't say the school because they've been in the news a little bit lately, Tom, down in Tasmania.
Oh.
And yeah, but I had a teacher there who I turned up on the first day and he just went me for what I was wearing because I wore jeans and a shirt. And he was like, "You're a teacher. You should be wearing like a suit." I'm like, "I'm a uni student. I can't afford to go and buy a suit." Like, yeah,
that to guy's teach no what? At
school.
In the library? Or no, were you teaching English and stuff?
Primary school kids. Like okay. Primary school music. Like primary school teacher doesn't need to wear a suit.
A suit.
Yeah, he wanted me to wear smart slacks.
I'd love it if the kids had a problem with that. Sir, aren't you a professional?
Why are you in jeans that you've rolled up the bottoms because you're too short and you can't afford to get them taken up? Which you would know, Tom, being a tall man.
No idea.
Yeah. All right, so.
Oh, bless. Okay.
The year is 2002, okay? Mm. The year before, the Strokes changed my music tastes completely. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I've talked about this on the show before. I lined up in Launceston to buy the Strokes album the day it came out. When I say lined up, I was the only one in the line. I was just waiting for them to open. Came out on a Sunday, and I thought they opened at 11. They opened at 12. So I was just hanging out in front of CD
Sanity?
Corner or something like that. No, it wasn't a Sanity. Right. It was an independent CD shop.
Whoa. I see. Yeah. So while you were lining up for Strokes records, I was writing up for Harry Potter books. So that's interesting that those are our two worlds. So that's is this it? Comes out in 2001, right?
2001, and then everyone seems to be in the new rock revival that the Enemy are flogging massively.
Sure.
I am buying music magazines every single week. So I buy Enemy every week. I buy Spin. I buy Q if it's anyone that's not U2 on the cover. I think that's all. I think later I get into a magazine called Filter, which is an American magazine. But yeah, at this time it's very much whatever NME are saying, that's what I'm buying.
Yes, I see. Okay.
So I've got how I'm going to do it today. I've got the five songs. I'm being honest, what I was actually listening to in that year when I was 21. And then I've got three songs at the end, which are honorable mentions, which I now admit are fantastic songs.
Okay, that's very honest of you. My list, and we'll go through it, but yes, my list is a constant tension. Whenever you had to put in together lists for the Triple J Hottest 100 or just generally people ask you, you know, torn between being honest and being upfront about the kind of music that I enjoy and that I recognise as good and trying to appear cool to both you, Josh, and your listeners, right? And so these are the balances. Look,
I have one of these memories for little things people say that stick with me. Tom, I don't know when your birthday is. I don't know your middle name. Mm-hmm. I know that you're a big Whitlams fan. That's something.
They have good songs.
Hey, Eternal Nightcap, I'll stand by. Yeah, okay. That Charlie trilogy, that's interesting.
Yes. Yep. Chucky air guitar, not so much. But you've got to love that. I think that everyone has bands that they like and that they'll put out releases and it's just like, oof, boy. But you know as much about the shit songs as you do about the good ones, right?
Yep. I talked about it last week. I was a huge fan of Things of Stone and Wood as a kid. It's one of those things that's just easy. It's got me into, like, they talked about Bob Dylan. I went, I might give this Bob Dylan a listen. You need those bands to get into the good ones. All right. So I'm doing my number five. The year, it's 2002. This album was released in August of 2002.
The war on terror is raging. We're post 9/11. Yep.
Yep. So this, we're just doing songs, not the album, but the album's great. The album's Turn on the Bright Lights. It's by the band Interpol, and the song is PDA, which is, I'm going to play a little bit. I can only play 30 seconds, but I'll play a little bit for you now.
Sleep tight.
All right, so that is PDA. Now, I love this song.
Yeah.
But I will admit that they are the laziest lyrics you'll ever hear in your life. That is so first draft. Just, I'll sing something here that sounds good and then we'll change it later. Oh, sleep, we have 200 couches. What the fuck are you doing in Interpol?
Interpol, always, they could obviously write fantastic songs. They did always strike me as the band that were like, they didn't even seem like fans of Interpol. Like, no. They just could not be asked. And they're all assholes, aren't they? Like, in interviews and stuff, they hate all interviews and they're kind of douchebags, right?
Well, in the book Meet Me in the Bathroom, which is all about this kind of period of New York rock and bands from the UK coming over to America and breaking it there, the guys from Interpol are really funny in this book. Okay. And they're just slagging off other bands. But I think in print it might be really funny, which I was shocked that they were that funny. Listen to their music. There's no... Unless this is meant to be humorous, but it's... For me, it seems lazy and it seems like we're too cool to try.
Yeah.
And this is when they had a guy in the band who dressed like a Nazi.
Oh.
Carlos, I don't know if you remember the band. He was the bass player. He was into Nazi memorabilia and he dressed like a vampire and he had a gun holster. He left the band. And if you read the book, so much of it is him just having like five women come backstage and him just going off and not really hanging out with the band. Just like, yep, I'm really cool. I'm going to go. And he's disappeared as well. No one really knows where he tried to be an actor. God. And no one knows where Carlos from Interpol is these days.
I love the idea of a member of Interpol being like, yeah. I'm cooler than Interpol. Like, these other bandmates in Interpol are fucking lame. I'm the cool Nazi group fucker.
I'm looking forward to Cameron James and Alexi fighting Carlos coming out in 2022.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.